Pets Life with Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet, managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit apetslife.ie.
For a Wednesday and not a Tuesday, but the good news is, if you haven't got time to listen to it today, don't worry about it. We'll put it up on our podcast through kfmradio.com. You'll be able to find it there once you log in, and you'll see all the previous episodes of It's a Pet's Life with Des Grew, and thanks to Jim Dog as well. So get your questions into us now. The man himself is right beside me. Des, how are you?
Yeah, good, John. Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's been a good week, and you experienced Croke Park, I believe.
And my son Tom, his first time in Croke Park. Actually, no, he was in Croke Park once before, several years ago, to see Kildare play. But so probably the second time in his life he was ever in Croke Park. 83,000 people there, was a great experience.
It was. That's exactly what Paul Power was saying.
Wonderful for rugby fans to see Leinster play there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and let's hope they can do the whole hog this time round.
Do you know what I didn't realise as well, though, when I was up there, right? The difference in the size of the pitch.
Yes, yeah.
Now, a rugby pitch is 70 by 100 and 100 or 100 odd.
100 odd minimum.
So a hurling pitch is obviously much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't aware of the dimensions, but you could see it there. There was a good 10 metres all around. So we were quite further away from the players than you would be, say, in the Aviva or in the RDS.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop the atmosphere. The atmosphere was great.
Yeah, that's what Paul was saying as well. So, okay. Well done. Well, we roll on, and hopefully we can complete the job in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London on the 25th of this month. Right, Des, matters at hand. I was doing a bit of research on this when you sent me on the topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Lots of people asking a lot of questions about vet care generally. Yeah. And I suppose the main one thing that seems to come out of it is that a lot of people have found that over the last decade or the last 5 or 6 years that vet care has gone up.
See, it's in the media now because it's a bigger problem in the UK than it is here. Okay, that cost issue. It's not as big a problem here, but it's a creeping problem. Now, one of the reasons for it is that customers' expectations, pet owners' expectations nowadays are much higher. So when you impose greater expectations for a higher level of care on practices, veterinary practices, then vets will step up and they'll invest in equipment in order to provide that higher standard of care. But then that will drive costs up. So accordingly, over time, as we try to do the job better, we invest in our premises, we invest in our practices, we provide digital x-rays, blood testing machines on site, ultrasound scanners, access to other forms of technology like MRI and CT, so that we can provide a higher standard of care. But you see, there's no such thing as a free lunch. No such thing as free vet care or free medical care either. So in the private sector, we're all private sector. Vet practices are all owned by, you know, individuals or very small companies largely in this country. So when the expectation is on us to provide that higher level of care, then the investment is made. That investment has to be recouped. Charges have to go up. Costs have to go up.
Yeah, you're right too. By the way, before I just continue on, a birdie in my ear just confirmed that the playing field, actually the dimensions of a GA pitch, is completely different to a rugby pitch. The field of play is between 130 and 145 metres long for a GA pitch and 80 to 90 metres wide.
Yeah, massive difference.
Yeah, massive difference. So that's the reason why the rugby pitch looked kind of completely different on the TV as well. And you experienced it yourself.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Now, as I say, with 82,500 Leinster fans there, the atmosphere was brilliant. It was fantastic. Yeah. But we were very far away from the players in comparison to
but
the RDS.
But was there really 82,500 Leinster players there?
Leinster fans.
Or was it Croke Park fans wanted to go to Croke Park and watch a bit of rugby?
Say a lot of general people, neutral people there too. You know?
Sitting on their hands, the Munster guys coming up. Yeah.
There weren't so many red jerseys. I don't know how many Northampton tickets they sold, not so many.
I said between 2,000 and 3,000 as far as I know as well. Yeah, so... Okay. Okay,
but on the topic of the costs, so this is worth talking about, because what I wanted to say to people today is that generally what happens in smaller practices in Ireland, we practice a thing called context-based care or customised care.
Yeah.
Another word for it that's been used is tailored care.
Yeah.
Now, that means that there's a bit of common sense applied.
Yeah.
You're not going to have, touch wood, 99% of the time, you're not going to have unnecessary big vet bills foisted on you in practices in Ireland, A, without your consultation, okay, and B, without you fully understanding what the benefit is going to be after you pay the cost.
Yes.
Okay, and C, you can 99% of the time, again, as I say, rely on your vet to apply a little bit of common sense and realise that sometimes lots of these tests are not worthwhile in animals of a certain age or animals with a certain condition. So in other words, you tailor the cost and the expense to the needs of the animal and the needs of the customer.
Okay, you've been harping on, and in a positive way, over the last number of months, about preventative care, about simple routine vaccinations, getting your dogs and cats, well, dogs particularly, exercise, health diet, but all that surely would contribute to reducing the cost of your bills.
Does my nurse Katie and I did an analysis there the other day on our customers' average spending, and we found that the customers who were linked up to our health plan and were receiving all of the preventative care as part of their plan,
you're right,
they were the ones that had the fewest visits for sickness.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's something that we instinctively feel should be the case. And when we did an analysis of, we'll say, our best 100 clients recently, we did actually see the ones who are on the plan were the ones who have the least visits for illness.
Right. Okay. John was on. He says, we have a purebred terrier. I didn't say what type of terrier, but it's a purebred terrier. And we have our old mutt who's 10 or 11 years old. The terrier is the one that seems to always have the ailments, while our mutt... Where did the mutt's name?
Yeah,
the mutt Jake doesn't get at the problems. Why? We talked about this last week.
We did. We know that crossbreeds have hybrid vigor, so they're a genetic mix.
Yeah,
they're genetically healthier. They are hardier. Their digestive systems tend to be more robust. Their skin is more robust, and they're less prone to allergies and itches. And they're also probably a little bit less anxious, a little bit calmer, more rugged in themselves. Sometimes that's because a crossbreed dog has been reared in a more natural environment than a purebred.
Okay, so here's a follow-on from that. Say you're going out to get a dog for the first time and you're thinking the big picture, how do I save money on the vet's bill? You know, obviously, that's the last thing on your mind when you're going to. But maybe it should be in the conversation that, you know, how to carefully select the right pet for preventative measures.
Yeah, well, you see, again, it plays it in context. Haven't seen an upsurge in designer fluffy dogs and white dogs over the last few years.
Yes.
As a consequence of COVID. There's a massive population explosion of designer breeds and pedigree dogs and expensive puppies and all the rest of it. So an antidote to that. Now, I'm completely converted to the idea of adopting and fostering.
Yeah.
And it used to be the case that a lot of the time, going into the shelters, going into the pounds, that you'd have less choice, or there'd be a higher risk of you perhaps, you know, fostering or adopting a dog that already had behavioural problems or whatever. Now I think no. An awful lot of the pedigree dogs, purebred dogs, are the ones with the health issues and the behaviour problems. So the antidote to that trend is go to the shelters.
Yeah.
Adopt and don't shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's quite straightforward, simple. Pauline was on, as she said, negotiating with your pet is always a good idea, because I find that pets are really decent people who are at the best interests of your animal. Negotiate, have a chat with them if you're strapped for a few quid.
Yeah, she's right there, because you see, this is where tailored care comes in.
Yeah.
On a private practice level where we have a bit of discretion, we can figure out there's always more than one way to solve a problem.
Yeah.
So we can usually find a solution which involves, I'll tell you what, we don't need to do that expensive blood test today. Let's do the least expensive blood test. Let's put a trial course of treatment in place. Let's see how we can get on. So we can usually treat a little bit by trial and by instinct rather than spending big money on tests straight away.
Okay. We have covered this subject before, but as part of the overall picture today, pet insurance, another one.
Yeah, pet insurance is great. Okay, so there's the difference between pet insurance and a pet plan is, a pet plan is something you take out with your vet practice, whereby they'll give you a suite of services and they'll give you your preventative care for a nominal monthly payment of 20 to 30 euros per month. That's the health plan. The health plans focus on preventative care and routine stuff. Now, pet insurance is great to have as well, because pet insurance is for illness and accident.
Okay.
Now, again, the cost of pet insurance has gone up, but it's still okay. It's still affordable for the average dog, starting at 200 a year, going up to probably 400 a year in some cases. So I'm going to tell you a little about the insurance companies that are doing it and what they cover and what the costs are.
Okay.
First of all, an interesting little experiment I did a while ago. I logged on to Allianz. That's Allianz.
Yep.
Allianz.
Yeah, we know them.
Famous insurance company, big insurance company. They're the biggest player in the pet insurance market.
Right.
You go onto the Allianz website and find the pet insurance section and fill in all the questionnaire and pop in all your pet's details, your own dog's details, and get a quote.
Yeah.
I did that recently for my 1.5-year-old retriever bitch, Bonnie.
Okay.
And I was given a quote of 33 euros a month.
Right, from Allianz.
Yeah, from Allianz.
Okay.
Which is quite good for a pedigree golden retriever.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And point. That's supposed to be one of the more expensive breeds.
Hmm.
Now, it'll be cheaper. It'll be 22, 23 euros a month, say, for a terrier crossbreed.
Oh, that makes sense because of the weight, the size and,
yes,
everything else. And general maintenance of the dog would
general
be
maintenance.
Yeah.
So, weight and size affects vet care costs, you see?
Yeah.
So, insurance will be cheaper accordingly.
That makes sense as well.
And there are certain breeds that they know. They'll put everything into an actuarial spreadsheet. And they know that some breeds get sick and cost more on vet care than others. And then that breed will be more expensive to insure. But the average mixed breed that doesn't visit the vet too often, doesn't get sick too often, is going to be cheap enough to insure, 23 to 26 euros a month.
Okay, good stuff. Cora Willis was on to us. She's from Carlo, and she says, the best advice I got over the last 3 years was preventative healthcare measures. Simple enough, go into a payment plan, get it sorted. We have two golden retrievers ourselves, age two, between 2 and 6, and subsequently, it was the best investment ever.
Yeah, she's right. Now, part of our health plan in Jim Dog is we always look very closely at the dog's diet, because I'm a firm believer that nutrition is one of the biggest ingredients in a health disease prevention program.
Yeah.
So we get them onto the correct Jim Dog recipe that suits the particular dog. And if you do that, then you have less skin problems, less ear problems, less tummy problems, and the overall health package is better.
Okay, right. A couple of questions beginning to come in, and we'll dip in and out of
the other topic
as
good.
Well. Hold on a second. Hi, the cost of veterinary care is crazy at the moment. Recently, my 2-year-old cat was in for one night, and it cost me €430. She had an X-ray and drip diagnosed with dehydration. Can you explain?
Yeah, you see, that's probably all-night care. So
okay.
The cost there is labour cost.
That
would be, I'd say, if it's all-night care like that on a drip. Nowadays, a lot of smaller practices, smaller hospitals like mine, we don't have overnight staff.
Yeah.
So we're outsourcing the overnight care, the intensive care, the hospital care, to the all-night providers.
Right.
There's a couple of them in the county. Now, the thing about those all-night providers is they're covering the night work for all the other local vets.
A bit like a K-Doc.
It's like K-Doc. They'll have a receptionist, an animal care assistant, a vet nurse and a vet on duty on a 12-hour shift.
Okay.
And they're on considerably more than what the day rate for those employees would be.
Okay.
So the single biggest driver of out-of-hours care or emergency care is the labour side of it. So if you want to have the luxury of being able to ring up someplace at 11:30 at night or 1 o'clock in the morning and the phone is answered by bright-eyed and bushy-tailed by a lady who's sitting at a desk waiting for you to come in, and the luxury of you being able to say, yes, come on ahead, we've a slot for you in 20 minutes, and you rock up and the lights are on and the vets are there, then there's a very serious cost to that.
I understand that as well. Is that where maybe you should think about pet insurance? Would that cover that?
Pet insurance would cover that.
Okay.
100%.
100%.
Yes. And the excess is about, now that's something people need to think about a little bit. The excess on the pet insurance can vary from policy to policy. It's around €100 for the excess. But if the overnight care and the costs of a serious illness and the cat needs to be on a drip and it's there all night and it had an X-ray and your costs are 400 plus, well, the excess will only be 100.
Okay. Can I ask you an honest question? If that was going to be the case, do the vets actually say this is the type of money it's going to be, or is it just a case they send out the bill and there it is?
No, they break it down.
Right, okay, fair enough.
They should break it down in advance.
Should.
If they don't now, you know, they are at fault.
Okay, right, fair enough. Right, let's go on. More positive stuff coming in, loads of questions which we'll get to, and if we don't get to them all, don't panic, we'll get to them next week. But we got a voice note in, it's regarding his little doggy, so have a listen to this, Des. Here it comes.
Very good.
Hello, KFM. We have a two-year-old dog. He's a cabochon. And at the moment, he's suffering with his hind legs. Now, he's not in any pain. He's just finding it hard to jump up onto the chair and stuff like that. And when we bring him for a walk, he's full of running and full of beans. It's just, say, if we've been home for 20 minutes or half an hour, or first thing in the morning when he gets up, his hind legs are just, I don't know what it is. It's not pain. He's not in any pain, but if you could ask the vet that, please.
Don't need to ask him. He's there himself. Well, Des, there's a good detailed question.
Poor
Dennis,
little,
I think it is.
Yeah, Dennis, poor little dog. 2 years old, I think he said at the beginning. That is an unusual problem for a two-year-old to have. And it is serious. It is significant. Not sore, but there's a restriction in mobility. And an inability to jump, inability to climb, inability to get up the stairs and get up on the couch and so on. Unfortunately, that little dog needs to be x-rayed.
Okay.
There's an issue there, whether it's muscular or skeletal. I suspect it's in his lower back or his hips.
Okay, right, fair enough. So we need to get that one sorted, Dennis. So contact your local vet and make an appointment ASAP because it's a two-year-old. I suppose if it was an older dog, you'd probably be looking at arthritis and stuff like that.
In an older dog, you'd say, well, okay, there's a little bit of arthritis there. Let's see where it is. In a younger dog, it's a little bit more concerning because we need to put a plan in place to make sure that he's going to be okay for the next, you know, 14, 15 years of his life.
Brilliant. Right, I have a Jack Russell who has lumps and bumps and warts type lumps. He's over 12 years old. In one area is licking and chewing. We got antibiotics, but the surrounding area is rough and the hair is now short bristles and skin stained brown. Any suggestion for creams to apply, or can you maybe have suggestion maybe what it could be? Mary from the Curra.
Yeah, so Jack Russells in particular, as they get older, the omega-3 and the omega-6 levels in their skin decrease and they get dry skin. Okay. And when they get dry skin, the epithelium, or the front of the skin, loses its integrity and becomes sensitive, and they itch and scratch, and they develop these little warts. They're usually papillomas, which are viral. They're usually benign, so not cancerous or anything, but they can be irritating. Hence, this little dog is licking and scratching.
Right.
I would say what you need to do is probably get the worst of the little warts taken off, and then you need to put a supplement in place to improve the integrity and the quality of his skin. So a food supplement to help going forward. Definitely get the lumps taken off now. And after that, put a supplement in place to improve the quality of his skin and the oiliness of his skin going forward.
Okay, straightforward, simple enough. So there we go. It's not a major big deal, according to Des, as it is. It seems to be a common problem with Jack Russell's. Morning to you all. How do you stop neighbours' cats, not our cats, other cats, doing poo in the flowers, beds? Then the dogs go on and dig it all up. You're well used to this, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, it begs the question, are you putting out food for these cats? Is there anything else to encourage them to come into your area, your space?
Because cats wouldn't come near dogs if the dogs are in the garden.
Generally, they wouldn't. No. I wonder is there food being left out?
Or could it be the dog food left out outside? Yeah.
Yeah, there's something encouraging them in. So look at that.
And subsequently, that's it. Straightforward, simple enough. How can I stop my Alsatian puppy barking at the postman? He barks at no one else, but I don't understand why. Now, this is a question of the ages, my man.
Question of the ages. Dogs bark. Yeah, how to stop the dogs bark.
Don't get me going on that
We listen, what did the Spanish philosopher say? The caravan keeps moving and the dogs keep barking.
Yes. But when it comes to the postman, it's the bag, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the bag. And do you know the curious thing about that is the postman comes and he drops his letters and the dog barks and he moves away again. So the dog actually thinks he's doing his job. He's chasing the postman away. So he's going to keep barking because the postman leaves when the dog barks.
I know. Yeah. I love it. Consider the grooming needs of your dog breed before you decide what dog you will get. Some breeds need grooming 5 times a year. It can be expensive.
Yeah, that's a good one to remind us about, listener, because in fairness, we were talking about insurance, but insurance won't cover, and neither will the health plan. The cost of grooming won't be covered and anything like that. It's an additional thing to bear in mind. If you have a long-haired Maltese, right, that could be €60 every 2 months.
Okay.
Grooming cost. A German Shepherd, a long-haired German Shepherd, would be €100 to €120, probably 4 times a year. That's significant enough.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
It's worth knowing that.
It is, yeah, absolutely. So just be forewarned. Right, here we go. On to another one from Maria. Thanks, Maria. My dog is 11 years old. He is a husky. I've been told he isn't allowed to eat meat and has to go on a low-protein diet. I'm waiting on his special food to come in, but in the meantime, what would you recommend to give him to eat? There's a PS on that. He's also on meds at the minute for pancreatitis. I presume it is. She has pancreatic, but I presume it's pancreatitis. If it is anything else,
yeah. Just okay, let us know. So that's why he's on a low protein and a low fat diet because of the pancreatitis.
Yeah.
So that last little bit of information is the vital piece of the puzzle for us. Yeah. So I would recommend what he needs. What's going to be a big help for him would be the goodness grains. Have a look on petslife.ie. Have a look at the goodness recipes. Comes in lamb, turkey, and fish. It's a single protein, low fat, and low protein diet. Ideal for pancreatic cases and for weight loss.
Okay. Coincidentally enough, the next question is something similar I was going to ask you just about my own cat. My own cat's in flying form, by the way. But I just noticed myself. My wife hasn't. Caroline hasn't noticed. But I've noticed, and somebody else just messaged in, that she noticed her cat is licking his left paw quite ferociously in the last 2 or 3 days or so. And coincidentally enough, my cat seems to be doing that. Not that bad. He seems to be in flying form. He just seems to be nibbling at his little toes.
Yeah, that's a seasonal. That's a time of year issue. A little bit of seasonal dermatitis there. A seasonal itch.
Okay.
Could be the ears, the back of the head, the paws. I'd recommend your cat and the listener's cat mentioned the similar affliction, a treatment for grass mites, harvest mites, ear mites.
Brilliant.
So the better quality spot-ons like the Broadline and the NexGard Spectra, they will cover for mites.
Okay.
So that's what your cat needs at this time of year.
Okay, fair enough. And you were on about spot-on as well quite recently too. How do you know when your Black Russell dog needs their nails clipped and what's the cost?
A routine nail clip is maybe €15. That's sort of cost,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
To be fair, lots of younger dogs don't need their nails clipped because they wear their nails down running around. Okay, what we find is that nails grow more as dogs become less active, become a bit stiff and become less inclined to run around as much, and they might need their nails clipped more often. Younger dogs hardly ever need it done, except maybe the one on the inside that curls around. So check the dew claw, listener. That's what we call the nail right on the inside, and if it looks as if it's curling or growing inwards too much, then it should be snipped back. Otherwise, no, I wouldn't worry about the nails too often.
Okay, where we go. Maria was back on just a follow-up comment as well regarding the pancreatitis in her husky and the fact that he's on a low-protein diet. She said his kidneys aren't that great either.
Yeah, the goodness grains recipe.
Yeah.
Have a look on petslife.ie, listener.
Okay, straightforward, simple enough. Great. Oh, yeah. A couple of nice comments coming in about the vet slot as well. Okay, let's recap back on our topic of conversation just to finish up today, Des. Preventative measures is the key thing. What's the top three things you need to do to keep your costs down for a pet owner?
Okay, take out a pet plan with the local practice.
Yeah.
Get your dog on the correct diet.
Yeah.
Okay, come in for regular checkups.
Yeah.
Keep him fit and light.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, you can take out insurance then to cover the costs of accident and injury if you wish. If you have a pedigree dog and you know if anything happens the costs are going to be significant, then you could get insurance as well.
The one thing I would say about insurance is from what you were saying before is obviously, you know, if you start young, it's a bit like adult humans.
Yeah.
The cheaper it is, I presume that's the way it works.
Yeah, and if you can't chop and change, unfortunately, too easily. Now, I know when you're insuring the car, you're insuring the house, you might chop and change. You'll have an all-claims bonus sort of thing to take it with you and you can change your car insurance. But word of caution, you can't really change your pet insurance.
Okay, and that's the key thing to remember.
Yeah.
So I think the right thing is pet plans, preventative measures first, doing exactly what you said in those points.
Yeah.
And subsequently, that's what we do. 0833 97 97 97. By the way, if you want to send us some email questions regarding our slot with Des, you can do that as well. Very easy to do. Just send it off to even to info@kfmradio.com. Can you mention again where the vet is? that I can purchase food, he recommended. Well, you can go off to Des's place as
Kildare
well.
Town, Kildare Vet Surgery, yeah. Or have a look online at petslife.ie.
Okay, straightforward, simple enough, and you'll find that. Thanks for that, Maria. And Maria, if you want to reach out and have a chat with Des, I know it's regarding your husky with the pancreatitis or the kidneys, or you want to get in touch with the vet practice, just mention that you were talking to him on the radio here today, and we'll look after him. Okay, cool. Up next we're going to take a break, and Des, you're back again next Tuesday.
I'm back again next Tuesday. Did you see the story in the paper today and yesterday, by the way, about the electric collars?
No.
That's a curious one now, right? People have noticed it. They've heard it talked about on the radio and so on. Charlie McConlogue, the Minister for Agriculture, so he put together a panel, a working group of animal welfare experts, and they're reviewing all the animal legislation in the country, you see. And over time, you're going to see more modernisation, more updates on the animal welfare legislation, which is great. But one thing that they have done straight away, early on in the process, is they've brought in a law now banning electric collars.
Right.
Yeah, now.
Are they the ones that buzz? No, they're not the ones to do with the
fence. No, they don't. Buzz. This is the question I wanted just to say briefly for 30 seconds, not to confuse people. The radio collar is a type of an electric fence that you put around the perimeter of your property to keep your dog inside your garden.
Yeah, understand.
And there's a little magnetic buzzer that gives a tiny shock to the dog.
That's
linked to the electric fence around your perimeter, you see. Now, that fence, that type of fencing, what we call the radio collar, that's not being banned.
Okay.
Now, what is in the news at the moment is there's a type of an electric shock collar used for dog training where you give them a dart with a remote control if they go too close to a cow or a sheep or whatever it is.
Okay.
That process of training working dogs and sheep dogs and so on, that's being banned.
Okay, right, fair
but
enough.
But not your radio collar around your garden.
One quick one, 30 seconds. My dog's
dew claws
were big and needed a clip. When I went to clip from both claws, they were gone. Is this normal?
They had broken off?
Yeah.
By the sound of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, lucky they did break off. Lucky they didn't grow into the pad.
Okay.
And cause an infection.
So that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
And they'll grow back.
They will.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. Thanks, Des.
It's a Pet's Life with Jim Doug, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet. Managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit at petslife.ie.